that he was getting ready to marry truly loved him. Now, if she didn't, she did a good job of faking. Because look, man, when you're engaged, man, the women know, they know how to put it on. See, they're trying to reveal that love that they have for you. You sitting down, and they tell you, honey, you getting ready to eat something. They say, oh, you don't have to do that. Let me feed you. Oh, I know I'm stepping on some toes in here. Look, you be sitting down there, you getting ready to get something out of the hors d'oeuvre thing. Oh, no, honey, you don't have to do that. I got that. And we just sat back and enjoy. Because we knew that the woman that we were about to wed is revealing her love that she has toward us. Now let me ask this question. Brothers, I'm going to ask you the same question. If you were engaged, Sister Barcue looking at me. If you were engaged, and every time he called you, you were out somewhere with your girlfriends. Wouldn't even answer the phone. Every time he got ready to take you somewhere, you said, well, I'm too busy, I'm going. Yeah. Honey, we're going to go out the door. Oh, no, I got something else to do. To me, she's not revealing her love. And that's going to make you think 4 or 5 times. Because she don't have no time for me now doing the engagement time. What's going to happen when I put the ring on her finger? So Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? And just like a man engaged to a woman and a woman engaged to a man, they reveal the love that they have one towards another.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community, KAYT.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
I don't know about nobody else, but can we turn the air conditioning down? It's blowing on my head, and it's going to start my sinus to running. And I don't believe it's that hot outside. I mean, that cold outside. Well, I'm sorry. Amen. Yeah. Hey, thank y'all. Amen. Thank God for the choir. Amen. Thank God for those songs. Me and Sister Coleman. Amen. Mount Olive Choir. Great choir. Yes, sir. Amen. Even with just a handful, they still sing praises unto the Lord. You can't hardly tell. Give me a little more volume. Amen. All right. I was listening to Monique. She fight my battles, which is going to come from right where I'm getting ready to talk about. You know, sermons come from all kinds of places.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I want to turn you, call your attention to the book of Exodus, chapter number 14. And I'm going to slide a couple of verses out from chapter 14. As we look at this, the children of Israel have been delivered out of Israel, I mean out of Egypt. And they're now down by the Red Sea. Things were looking good for a while. Yeah. Amen. They were free and on their way to the promised land. But all of a sudden, they look behind. Well, we take up our text in verse number 19 and 20. And we see how the Lord works, how the Lord protects his children. Everybody got to say amen. Yeah. Anybody need a little more time, come to Sunday school. That's the second book of the Bible. Y'all know that. Amen. Verse 19, beginning at verse 19, it reads, and the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and a pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all night. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And the angel of God who went before them, before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them, and a pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. And I just want to talk from the subject, I got your back. I got your back. Look at it, your neighbor, and say, neighbor, don't worry. God got your back. Amen. We need to understand and trust. Thank you, Aisha. In the fact that God we serve, no matter what, he has our back. And so let me begin by saying that many times folk will tell you not to worry about certain situations, and they'll say, because I got your back. But many times when things get rough, that's the same persons or persons who told you that they had your back is nowhere to be found. And you find yourself all by yourself. But not so with God. When God says to us, I got your back, you can count on him. You can go on and you don't even have to look back, because the God we serve, he has our backs and nothing will be able to creep up on us from the rear. Now, the inspiration for this sermon came when I was leaving the state convention midwinter board in Opelousas, Louisiana, when Sister Armstead and I, we stopped for gas. At the pump, there was a guy on a bicycle. He was going from car to car asking, I guess, for money. And as I got out of my car, some more preachers drove up behind me, and as I spoke to them, the guy on the bicycle, he went to them, and no doubt they probably didn't give him anything. But instead of getting gas, they drove up to the store. And as I began to pump my gas, I was waiting for the guy on the bicycle to come to me, but he never came. And when I was through, I looked back, and there was a big bald-headed man in a black suit behind me at the other pump. And I don't know if he was a preacher or what, but he was standing behind me with his arm folded, just like a guard. He was just standing up like that, looking straight ahead. Uh-huh. Amen. And Lord have mercy. And when I got through, and got in the car, he started walking toward the stove. Now, I don't know if he went in or not. We never looked at each other. We never spoke. We never said anything. But then it dawned on me, because I was wondering why he was standing back there. He was standing there watching my back. And I asked Tammy, I said, did she see the brother standing back there while I was pumping gas as if he was pulling guard until I finished? And I don't know if she paid attention to him or not, but as always, she began to lecture me. I told you about stopping at night for gas. You don't know who's out there wanting to rob you and so on. But while she was talking, I was really praising God in my mind and my spirit for letting me know that I got your back. Don't worry about a thing. And I began to think about Elisha and his servant. You know how his servant went out and he looked out and saw the enemy all around. And I thought about Sister Stead. Well, she was like that servant. She said, what we going to do? But Elijah, amen, told his servant, say, open your eyes and look around you. And when he opened his eyes, all of a sudden he saw chariots of fire all around. In other words, they outnumbered the enemy. In other words, they didn't have to worry about anything because God had their back. Amen. And I even began to think about what Paul said about putting on the whole armor of God. But have you ever noticed that there was nothing put on the back to protect your back? Huh? Why? Because God said, don't worry about your back because you can trust me. I got your back. Sort of remind me of Psalm 91 and 11 says, for he shall give his angels charge over you to give, keep you in all your ways. I tell you, I couldn't get this out of my mind. I even dreamed about it. I woke up again just praising God in my mind because no doubt I could have been in danger, as Sister Stead stated. But when I looked back and saw this big bald-headed man in a suit standing with his arm folded, looking straight ahead like a person, yes, Lord, standing guard, I don't know if he was a real man or an angel because I didn't really watch to see if he went to the store. I just drove off. But even so, I believe God was saying to me, as this man was standing, say, I'm dead, don't worry about a thing, because I got your back. And so the text before us will hopefully help us to know if we trust in God and acknowledge him in all of our ways and lean not to our own understanding, I stop by to tell you that God got your back. And so in the text, the Israelites had reached the Red Sea, which blocked their path, when suddenly, as if to make a bad situation worse, they saw the Egyptians in hot pursuit. They were literally between the devil and the deep. And my brothers and sisters, we too are often caught between, yes, Lord, that Red Sea of impossibility blocking our advance and with the hellhounds on in our rear. But note what happens in this emergency as the angel of God moving behind them and closing the door on the enemy reveals to us this morning that God has a way of keeping the enemy in the darkness while we, his children, will be able to walk in the light. And so as we talk from this subject, I got your back, we'll note that the text reveals to us three great truths in this vivid record. First, in our text, we see that some of our greatest enemies are not those that confront us, but those that pursue. I'm going to say that again. Some of our greatest enemies are not those that confront us, but those that pursue. Because we would note that it was not so much the Red Sea in front of the Israelites as the Egyptian behind them that created panic in the camp. My brothers and sisters, this is a parable of our situation this morning because many times we think we have escaped the ghost of yesterday when suddenly we hear the clatter of their horses' hooves and see the dust of their chariots' wheels. Just think for a moment of the realms in which this truth applies because some of us are pursued by fears. Some of us thoughts are pursued by complexities, inhibitions, frustrations, and phobias that psychologists solemnly tell us are the fruition of the seed sown in our childhood experience. Yes, we leave our childhood days behind, but many times the ghosts of the past continue to, Lord help me, to pursue us. And secondly, some of us are pursued by grief. It may be that during the past year, sorrow laid a heavy hand on us and our families. And so it's not possible, it's not the possible future grief we fear, but a past one that continues to pursue us. Still others are pursued by some old sin or old temptation in which they gave into. In other words, like the Israelites, we have thrown off the yoke and started toward the promised land, but still that old temptation follows us on and on. And so the first truth here is that the Israelites left Egypt, but not the Egyptians. And my brothers and sisters, the hindrance to our progress toward the maturity of Christian character may not be something out in the future, but from something we carry over from our past. And so God may be trying to tell us this morning to stop worrying about your past. Don't be looking back and allowing your past to mess you up. Don't worry about your back, because I got your back. Because it's not really about what's behind you, but it's what's before you that counts. So you ought to just stop worrying about what's behind you and move on, for God said, I got your back. Because secondly, the text reveals that God not only goes before us, but he is also our rear guard. Note the text revealed that God's angels, who had been out front as a guide, now it came behind them as a defense and stood between them and their pursuers, just as the man stood between me and the guy on the bicycle at the gas pump, which says to me that God is saying to the Israelites, in essence, don't panic, I got your back. Because in the same way as we go forth on our individual journeys in faith, we sing the praise God by singing songs like, guide me over thy great Jehovah pilgrim through this barren land. We also sing, where he leads, I will follow. And this thought is wonderfully true, but we need a God who is not only before us, but we need a God who is behind us as well. Notice how profound was the insight of the psalmist who said in Psalm 139:5, he said, you have beset me behind and before and laid your hand up on me. Simply put, with your powerful arm, you protect me from every side. And my brothers and sisters, it's almost certain that the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 52:12 had the Exodus in mind when he wrote, for the Lord will go before, and God of Israel will be your rear guard. Now these words can also be applied to the return of the exile. But anyway, as we move forward, I'm reminded of a story I read. It was said a Christian man who was always poised and serene, wasting no time on the fruitless exercise of worry. And when asked how did he do this, he replied, I always made it a rule of my life that when I shut the door behind me, I have shut the door. In other words, he set the Lord before him and behind him. And so since God is our real God, let us close the door on the negative past and trust God to have our back. Because God can shut the door on the hosts of those that pursue us. And you don't have to worry, because the God we serve, he's able to shut a door. And if he can shut a door that no man can open, and he can open a door that no man can close. Oh, we serve a mighty God. Ain't no use. It's just like a runner. A runner would be a fool to be trying to run and looking back behind him, because if he looked back behind him, he might fall down. If he looked back behind him, it's going to slow him down. So why keep our eyes in the rear when we got somebody taking care of the rear? We ought to just keep our eye on the prize and keep on moving forward. Well, finally, I'm almost through. The third truth reveals to us in the text that every experience of life has a double meaning depending on to whom the experience comes. My brothers and sisters, the pillar of cloud that stood between the Israelites and the Egyptians, it caused darkness upon the Egyptians, but it gave light by night to the Hebrews. In other words, with faith, our experience means one thing, and without faith, it means another. My brothers and sisters, the same fire that melts wax also hardens clay. And so the Egyptians saw only a dark cloud, but the Israelites, to the Israelites, it gave light. But let's consider this truth as it applies to the world situation, because surely it's dark enough. Now, to take it at face value, Egyptian lack, is to see nothing but darkness, confusion, danger, and chaos, and a black cloud. But the people of faith, the cloud is not all darkness, because we can see the reason for the darkness, and that releases to us a flood of light. Meaning the presence of God in history means darkness to some, but it means light to others. In other words, the people of faith can always see light even in the midst of darkness, because we know that the God we serve is at work in history. And so the revolutionary periods have always been the most creative, because God often does more during those times when the waters are stirred. Again, consider the afflictions, disappointment, and tragedies that come in each of our lives. My brothers and sisters, they may mean darkness to the Egyptians who cry out like Job, why don't you curse God and die? But to the people of faith, there was a light shining even in our dark experiences. And then let us consider the fact of death. To the Egyptians, it's darkness unrelieved. As the wisdom writer writes in Ecclesiastes 3:9, he says, what happens to the sons of men also happens to animals. He said, one thing befalls them. As one dies, so dies the other. Or to put it another way, like animals, they breathe and die, and they're no better off than they are. But the people of faith, yes, Lord, according to 2 Corinthians 4:16, we cry out, we don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. Well, why is this? Because we know that if this earthly house, this tent is destroyed, we got another building from God, not made with hands, is eternal in the heavens. And so we're not worried, because God tells us every day, don't worry, I got your back. And so like Paul, since we know God have our back, we're going to forget those things which are behind, and we're going to press on toward that mark of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus, because the God who has our back, he promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And so as I try to move to the close, as believers in Christ, we stand in the shadow of the cross, in which unbelievers cannot understand it. Unto the Jews, the cross is a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, it's foolishness. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, concerning the cross, he said, unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. Because one Friday on a hill called Calvary, Jesus, my all in all, Jesus, my burden bearer and my heavy load carrier, he hung, bled, and died for the sins of the world. It was dark and dreary on that Friday, but the light of the resurrection streamed across the darkness of that cross. because after laying in that grave for 3 days and three nights, bright early Sunday morning, Jesus, he got up from the grave with all power and heaven and earth in his hands. It's because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because Jesus lives, all fear is gone. But the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Because Jesus, I tell you, because he lives, I can say like Paul, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believe. Because I hear God saying, preach my word and don't worry, I got your back. Ain't God all right? Do you know him this morning? Have you tried him for yourself? I don't know about you, but I'm just like it was at the gas station in Opelousas. God assured me, don't worry, Armstead, I got your back. He walked with me, and he talked with me, and he tells me I am his own. Ain't God all right? And so I will not fear, because I got goodness on my right side. I got mercy on my left side. I got the Holy Ghost on the inside. I got God all around. I got Jesus out in front. Ain't God all right? My prayer this morning is that he gives us grace and faith to let us close the door of all the Egyptians of temptation and evil habits and old grudges of the past. Stay in the past, because God got our backs. Look at your neighbor and say, don't worry, because my God, he got your back. Ain't God all right? Remember now, my brothers, you got to believe that God got your back. Remember, in Bible study, we learned that faith contained two aspects, and that is the intellectual accent, which when we believe in our minds that something is true, but the other accent is trust. That accent of faith is to actually rely on the fact that something is true. In other words, it's not enough just to believe those pews are for sitting on, but when we trust, we'll just go over there and we'll sit on the pew, because not only do we believe in our mind, but we trust what we believe. Ain't God all right? I don't know about you, but I'm gonna move on in my life. I'm not worried what's behind, because God, he has my back. Yes, he does. Not only does he have my back, but he got my front. He got my side, because he's everywhere. So hold on to God's unchanging hand. Walk on and march on. Everything will be all right. I know it's all right. If you know he's all right, let me hear you say yes. Say yes. Yes. Some of us can't move an inch without worrying about what's behind. Yeah, yeah. One thing about it, what's past is past. Amen. You can't change your past. Yeah. I don't care what you do. Yeah. Even when you waste your life, you can't change that. But God will give you a brand new start. Yeah. He'll lead you. Yeah. He'll guide you. Yeah. And he'll surely take care of your rear. Y'all do remember now, he say put on the whole armor. Y'all know he put armor. Everything is for a frontal assault. Yeah. Nothing back here. Because God takes care of the rear. Oh, Lord. I thank God for this little word. You get inspiration from everywhere. That was one of the strangest experiences that I had, to have a man standing out, pulling God, so to speak, until I got through with my gas. Knowing that I'm a little weak, maybe the guy, he might have came up to me and say, oh, well, he a little weak, but I might knock him down. Well, I did the best I could, but God, he had my back. I never did see the guy no more. All I could see was this big guy with a bald head and a black suit just standing up like this, looking straight ahead.